through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Oh, morena, Tim.
Morena.
How's it going?
Oh, the world's still gone to hell. What we were talking about off air.
This is the one good news story.
During that gorgeous crap date song. I don't even know what news story triggered this because Tess brought it up. But those botched art restoration news stories, they absolutely keep me going day to day.
They're so good.
They're so good.
It's almost like they do the restoration without looking at the original photo. And they're like, let's just see.
For the
uninitiated. Let's just see how close we can get.
They pop up like periodically. Maybe you get a couple a year, I reckon, now.
You do, yeah.
There was a really famous one about 7 years ago that was this, you know, incalculably valuable friar done
Fresco.
In the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And just some
lovely parishioner.
Lovely, completely uninitiated person just comes in with what looks like a vivid and redraws their nose and mouth.
Just like, it needs a little touch up. We'll just come and paint it.
It's so strange to me. The latest one is this one from, it's in Valencia, and I don't know if I can pronounce it. Bartolomé Esteban Murillo.
Perfect.
Close
Sounds
enough.
Like you nailed
yeah.
it.
And it has been restored, and it looks a bit like something I would have drawn of myself, actually, as a child. Looks a bit like me.
It's so good. If ever I'm having a bad day, I literally look
just
that
Google
story
it.
Up
feel,
of that friar.
I do feel bad because the person who's restored it is probably pretty, like,
gutted.
Good at their job.
Oh,
and,
yeah, totally.
You know.
But this is why they're so funny. There's such funny stories when they come out because it's, you know, these pieces of art are worth, you know, millions and millions of dollars, and technically no one's getting hurt, but it is kind of such a big deal, but
no.
It also sort of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I think the point is, though, that these aren't done by actual conservators. They're just done by well-meaning members of the public who just rock up with their little paint kit.
How does
just,
it happen, eh?
I don't know. It's
How
the,
does it happen?
That's
look
the
it
ultimate.
Up. If you need to start your day off with a smile,
yeah,
look it up.
Look
or
it
a big
up.
Groan, depending on your perspective, I guess.
Yeah, true.
What else is going on in the world? Tim, what's the media
up
to?
There's a bit of a bun fight, which I'm sure people have seen, that's broken out within the New Zealand media sphere about COVID reporting.
Mm.
Andrea Vance wrote a piece, which was pretty flowery, actually, and stuff, saying a call for mass kindness is a lot more complicated offline and in the real world than empty hashtags suggest.
What does that mean?
She's talking about the health campaign and the system and
right.
the controls for COVID and how they have failed the country. Tracy Watkins, also from Stuff, had a sort of similar, though probably not as devastating piece. John Armstrong at One News described the situation as calamitous in a column he wrote. And then Jack Vowles at The Newsroom responded to all this with a piece titled, "Some of the Media Need to Calm Down." So there's just...
He really threw his bun.
Telling someone to calm down is always a real tricky one, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually, now that I do the math, especially when it's two female senior political reporters versus some dude who I think is completing a poli-sci qualification of some sort. Anyway, I think it's good that there's a bit of commentary going on about this.
Totally,
because there certainly are multiple ways that you can view what's happened. You just had a very great conversation with the Prime Minister, I thought, Rachel, about some of these questions. So there's... good people on both sides.
Yeah.
Can I use that term phrase? Probably shouldn't.
A bob both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's worth being talked about. That's all I have to say about that. I don't really have a dog in this fight.
How many metaphors can we get into one?
I bloody love
story.
An idiom. The
Let's
thing you
got
to know about Tim Bat, he loves an idiom. There hasn't really been much progress, but I just wanted to bring up the Māori media proposal again that I talked about last week. This was put forward by Nanaia Mahuta, who's the Minister for Māori Development, which proposes a centralisation of Māori news gathering under Māori television, and it has been met with, universal is probably too harsh a word, I would say overwhelming scorn and criticism and derision. I was just listening last night to a really great conversation that Hayden Donnell at RNZ had with Mihi Forbes and her producer at The Hui, who have expressed a big concern in the whittling down of the diversity of Māori voices in media that this could achieve, whether accidentally or not. The Prime Minister actually came out and said people have misinterpreted the report, which I think is bad.
Mm.
I don't think she was right to say that at all, because the report pretty explicitly says at the start, in fact, I'm going to try and, did I have it in my notes? It says, Te Māngai Pāho currently funds a number of Māori news services, and this is not sustainable. So it quite explicitly states that. It also makes the proposal very explicit that it wants to centralise it all under Māori television.
Mm.
And some very smart people with very storied careers in the media all took it one way. So I think for the PM to say you've misinterpreted this is not quite right.
It's a tough call to say a collective understanding of something is a misinterpretation.
Yeah, especially when it's kind of an almost universally held opinion by the experts on the matter. So Mihi Forbes and her producer Annabelle Lee Mather, in that conversation, basically the main point that they made, which I think is super valid, is that a clearinghouse, which is what the government started describing it as, for Māori news under Māori television, only kind of works if you've got established Māori news editorial roles within a diversity of news media, like TVNZ, RNZ, News Hub and stuff. Submissions on this report are open for another 2 days. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you can still make a submission yourself.
And where can you go to do that?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
I'll look it up during a song and tell you guys.
Yeah, totally. Sorry, I should have that to hand.
Right. But sure, if you Google it, you'll find it.
If you go to the RNZ story, I know that they've got links to the submissions there. So if you look at the Hayden Donnell piece. And ever so briefly before I go, some big international apparel brands are boycotting Facebook and Instagram until they take better action against hate speech on their platforms. So most recently, Patagonia, who I love. Great brand.
Great brand.
Really great brand.
And this is a non-sponsored post from Tim Batch.
Absolutely.
Hiking wear. That's so what I have to put to you.
I've been doing a sustainability podcast for the last year, so I've been like finding out a lot about this stuff. And Patagonia are legit.
They are legit. Oh, that's very good to hear.
Anyway, sorry, not an ad for Patagonia. We should try and shake them down for some cash for BFM. they have joined the North Face and REI, which are two other outdoor apparel brands, and boycotting them, saying that they need to take better action on, let me read the tweet, if I may.
Yeah, you read that.
From secure elections to a global pandemic to racial justice, the stakes are too high to sit back and let the company continue to be complicit in spreading disinformation and fomenting fear and hatred.
Dang.
So that was on Twitter that they sent that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is do you think they're big enough brands to make a bit of a...
Nah. But you got to start somewhere, don't you?
You do. I mean, this is very true.
Facebook is second only to Alphabet Inc., which owns Google, in terms of digital ad revenue. So this is, what would my mum call it? A flea on a gnat's ass, or some whatever that phrase is. Another idiom, but I've botched
that
one.
That's cracky.
A flea on a bum's, on a cat's ass? I don't know I can't remember how it goes. It's a drop in the ocean.
I get the general gist, so.
Well, but as I say, you've got to start somewhere, you know?
You do got to start somewhere.
And momentum picks up, you know? Before you know it, you'll have all the brands boycotting it, and that'll be it.
Indeed.
You're
indeed.
Just flea-ridden.
Please do spread.
And on that note, thank you very much, Tim.
A pleasure.
We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.
And we